All right, good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, June 26, 2020. It's a little after 9:45, and this is the time set for our daily meeting and a public health update. Mike Paul, are you on the line this morning?
Good morning, yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Do you want to go ahead and kick it off with your update for us?
Sure, thank you. More than 9.6 million coronavirus cases have been recorded worldwide, approaching 500,000 deaths worldwide reported. 2.5 million of those cases have been reported in the U.S. Over the past 15 days, we've seen a 54% increase in new cases. This is just the last 14 days. More than half of states are seeing increases in cases. In the Northeast, case counts are falling, but in most other areas, they are rising. Other countries seeing increases are Brazil, India, Mexico, Turkey, Germany. Deaths in the U.S. Have decreased over that same 14 days by 30%. So new deaths announced yesterday were 2,467. So that's good news. But again, the death data follows case data. So a rise in cases, you may not see a rise in deaths until after that. Certainly the trends are going in the wrong direction as far as new cases. Texas has announced a pause on reopening, shutting bars. Arizona's reporting hospital capacity issues. Their case positivity rate is, I think I read, almost 20%. So that means one in five people that are tested are testing positive. And more and more states are issuing mask mandates. North Carolina recently is the most recent, joining a few other states, including California and Washington. And Oregon issues its weekly data report on Wednesdays. Reviewed the data report, it shows that during the week of June 15th to June 21, more than 30,000 people were tested for COVID-19 in Oregon. 3.7 of those had a positive result, which is up from 3.1% during the week before and 3% the week before that. Oregon has the capacity to test approximately 34,000 people per week. And we're pretty close to testing that many people per week. Between June 15th and June 21, Oregon recorded 1,263 new cases, which is a 40% increase from the previous week. In addition, 12 Oregonians were reported to have died compared to 16 deaths in the preceding week. We got a question about comparing case numbers, and, I usually go through the case counts or have been going through case counts in the beginning. Sometimes I mention countries. I think it's important just for people to recognize that, the overall cumulative case counts are not, those are one indicator, but you also want to look at number of cases per 100,000 or per 10,000 people. So, the U.S. has about 300 million people. It wouldn't be appropriate to compare the case count, cumulative case count for the U.S. Versus a country with, 10 million people. Their large work outbreak continue to drive a lot of the data. There's more than 30 large workplace outbreaks in the state. Also, long-term care facility outbreaks continue to be an issue, although number of outbreaks, which is defined as three or more cases, has stayed about the same this week from last week. There's about 12 to 15 active outbreaks in care facilities. For Columbia County, we've again still been very fortunate. We haven't had an outbreak in a long-term care facility and haven't reached the threshold of five cases at any one workplace, but we don't want to be complacent about that. We are regularly checking in with our long-term care facilities. Let's see, the Oregon Health Authority released new investigative guidelines this week. Those are the guidelines that local health authorities use to investigate cases and which we follow to regarding case definitions, transmission, what's considered a positive case, a suspect case, et cetera. So we're reviewing those and we're going to modify our investigations per the guidelines. They've added a new test that will be included as positive case count. So we're going to be receiving new tests. A new electronic lab reports. They also added a definition of the condition that is similar to Kawasaki disease that we've seen in rare cases seen in some children that have tested positive. So I just wanted to finish with our recommendations to the public that have not really changed. Wash your hands, maintain distance when you're out in public. We recommend face masks for people. Science does show that COVID-19 can be spread by people who don't know they have it. Some people will have COVID-19, not have any symptoms, and feel the same as they would when they're normal and healthy, but they can spread COVID-19 by droplets when you exhale or breathing normally, talking, coughing, sneezing, singing, and they can float in the air and infect other people. So face masks are really purpose of them is to protect other people. While our case count continues to, our cumulative case count is much lower than all of the counties surrounding us. And that's great news, but we know that people travel to other counties and come back. When you keep that in mind, when you're traveling to other counties, there are face mask requirements and also, much higher case numbers in some other counties nearby us. That's all I have this morning. End of report.
Great. Thank you, Mike. I don't have any questions for you, Commissioner Magruder. Do you?
I don't really have any questions. I've had a couple of calls asking if we were going to require face masks and noting that the state guidance allows for counties to ask the governor to require face masks in their counties. My answer has been at this time, we do not plan to require face masks in Columbia County. Is that in line with your thinking? Director Paul?
Thank you for the question. I think that, we, right for other counties. We recommend wearing face masks. As far as making it mandatory, we prefer the voluntary approach, the educational approach. I think most people are wearing masks, and when I see people out, they're wearing masks. I think that the state has, we're a small health department here. Our health officers, ability to provide time is limited. I think that the state has the scientists and epidemiologists, and if they want to make that recommendation, it should come from the state, or make that mandate, it should come from the state.
Thank you. I agree that I think education and strongly encouraging and setting an example is, at this point, the most effective means that we can employ.
Yes, and we've talked about this as a board, and I think I'm kind of that swing vote still, but I'm not sure. And at this time, I don't see a need to require them, but they are recommended, and we do ask that you wear them when you come to the courthouse and when you are in public spaces. And as Mike said, it's to help prevent the spread and to help protect others. So education, courteous, being courteous and thoughtful of others, and we will get through this together. If we cannot continue to keep our numbers down, then we will have to revisit whether or not masks become required at that point. And I don't think that we're there yet. And Commissioner Magruder shaking her head no, so I think we're in agreement that we're not there, but we could be if we aren't taking precautions and being the good community that we are. So, okay. Well, then thank you for that, Mike. We're going to move on to our consent agenda for today, which is our consent agenda, contracts, amendments, and agreements. A, Order 65-2020 in the matter of adopting a fifth revised temporary administrative policy in response to COVID-19. B, C57-2020, permit and hold harmless agreement by and between St. Helens Economic Development and Columbia County for use of a county facility, the Courthouse Plaza, steps, and Rose Garden, and authorize the chair to sign. C, C47-2020, amendment number 4 to the intergovernmental agreement between Columbia County, Oregon, and the Port of St. Helens.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the consent agenda as contracts, amendments, and agreements as presented.
I will second. It has been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda, contracts, amendments, and agreements as presented. Is there any discussion?
Other than hoping that folks have a good time at the Shedco event on the 4th of July, and that they practice social distancing and wear their masks.
All right. With that, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries unanimous. Okay, and then under department head and staff discussion, is there any department head or staff that need to bring things forward at this time to be discussed? Hearing none but a car door, we will move on to commissioner discussions. With Commissioner Heimuller out and the board administrator out next week, Commissioner Magruder, how do you feel about canceling all of our daily meetings next week?
I think unless somebody on our staff, a department head, feels the need, that we could certainly do that.
Mike, are you going to need to give us an update next week, or are you comfortable canceling the meetings for next week?
I'm comfortable canceling the meetings. We'll give you an update following Monday or Wednesday, whenever you decide to have the next one. We'll be working through the holiday, but and have people on call. But I think that it's not necessary to meet. And also, these weekly reports and data reports that I review, for people that want to find them, they can still find them on the Oregon Health Authority website.
Okay, great. So then with that, we will go ahead and cancel our meetings next week, and the board will reconvene on July 6th. That's Monday, July 6th at 9:45 for our daily update. Commissioner Magruder, do you have any other comments for today?
I don't believe so, other than everybody be safe, have a great 4th of July celebration, but to follow the rules. And let's keep it so that Mike can report into us after the 4th of July that our case count is still much lower than surrounding counties.
Yes. Happy 4th of July, everyone. Be safe, make good choices, have fun, and we look forward to seeing you all and talking to you all again on the 6th. With that, this board is adjourned.